God has a forever plan. He planned for Jesus to come and for us to be on his side, doing good. God built all things. He made the heavens and the earth glow. His spirit moved over the top of the waters. He spake and it was done. He said, let there be light. Boom, it was light. Whatever he said happened. Easy. He made the waters and the skies, night and day, sun and moon and stars. He made a man and a woman and told them to have babies. After he made everything else, he made a special day to rest every week. No work on Saturdays. He had already named things. But let Adam, the first man, he let him name the animals. He took dirt, he formed man, and breathed into the man's nose the breath of life. That's how Adam was made. God planted a garden and put the man in it to keep it good. God put all the pretty and yummy trees in the garden. God also put the tree of life in the garden. If Adam ate it, he would live forever. God also put one certain tree in the garden, named the tree to know good and bad. And God told the man, Adam, that he could eat any of the trees, except for that one. If he ate it, he would die. Then God made Adam very sleepy. While Adam slept, God took one of his rib bones and closed up the skin back up. God used the rib bone to make a woman. Then he brought the woman to the man. One morning, God was walking in the garden. But Eve and the man had eaten the fruit. So God made the snake and the woman not like each other. God made the snake to go on his belly. God multiplied the woman's conception and her sorrow. God also cursed the ground that Adam would have to work. God then made coats for Adam and his wife. Here you go. God made them from the skins of an animal. God put the coats on Adam and his wife. God sent Adam out of the garden to till the ground. Remember, Adam was made from dirt on the ground. Now he'd have to work in the dirt till his body would die and become dirt again. So God drove out the man and he placed angels to guard the east of the garden. Also, God placed a flaming, turning sword to guard the tree of life so that people wouldn't eat it and live forever. Adam had a son named Abel, and the older brother was Cain. He had a son named Cain too. But you know, God didn't like Cain's offering. God liked Abel's offering and said it was good. Cain killed his brother Abel. And so God made Cain run far away. But God set a mark on Cain so that no one would kill him. More and more, the children grew up. And there was lots of people in the world globe. There was a good man named Enoch. One day, God just took Enoch. Everyone was like, where'd he go? God took him. One day, everyone started building a big city town and tower. God came down to see the city and tower. And the people building the tower were like little children to God. A little later, God looked on the earth, and all the bodies of people on earth did bad things. God saw that everyone was very, very bad. God felt sorry that he made men on the earth. He was sad about this. He liked Noah, though. Noah was a preacher. He said, do good. He warned Noah about something that Noah didn't see yet. God didn't cause it to rain before, but God told Noah to build an ark. God waited and waited for the people to repent. Finally, he shut the door of the ark, the boat. That's what an ark is. He brought the flood on the world. All the people that didn't like God died. He didn't save them. The only people saved from the great flood was Noah. After the flood was done coming up, God remembered Noah and the animals in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth. After the water went down, Noah's family got out. They made an altar, and God thought that it was a yummy smell. Then God told Noah and the animals that he wouldn't destroy everyone with a flood again. God also said that he would not again curse the ground for man's sake. As a token of this, he set his bow in the cloud, and God blessed Noah and his sons. The angels sat around God, and God asked Satan, what have you been doing? Have you seen Job? No one is as good as him. He doesn't do anything bad. And Satan said, I can get him to be bad. I will take away all his stuff. Then he will not like you, God, and he will be bad like me. So God said, go ahead. Just don't kill him. Satan tried, but Job remained good. Even though Satan took his stuff away, why, Job's children were dead. His body had ouches all over, and his friends told him that he was bad. But he wasn't bad. Then God came to Job in a whirlwind. God said to Job, tell me where you were when I made the earth. I made clouds, thick darkness. I reserved hail and snow. I made the donkey's house in the wilderness. Tell me, Job, if you can beat Behemoth. God made this animal. His tail is as big as a tree. Then God turned to Job's friends and said, I'm angry against you guys because you didn't say things that were right about me. But Job did say things that were right about me. So God had Job make a sacrifice for his friends. God liked Job, not his friends. God freed Job when he prayed for his friends. And so it was that God brought evil upon Job and then blessed Job's end more than his beginning. God gave Job twice as much, two times as much as he did before. God, the Lord, let Abraham loose from his old country called Ur. God brought him out from Ur to give him his own land. God knew that Abraham would teach his children about God so that his children would be good. And God made a promise to Abraham. God was very willing to make this promise and show everybody that he keeps his promises. He remained faithful. God would bless Abraham no matter what. And God would multiply Abraham. He told Abraham to not be afraid. He would be like a shield to Abraham, protecting him. And Abraham would look forward to being with God, like waiting for a bunch of money. God said that he'd make a great nation out of Abraham's children one day. And if anyone helped his nation, then God would also help that person. Or if anyone said bad or did bad against Abraham's children, then God would do bad to that person. God appeared to Abraham and told Abraham that he would give land to Abraham's children. Yippee! He said Abraham would have so many children, as many as the stars, innumerable. He would give a certain land that Abraham was looking at. God would give him and his children this land forever. God tested Abraham, and Abraham believed God. God counted his faith, belief, God counted it as righteousness. God named Abraham before he was called Abram. God also named his wife Sarai to Sarah. God blessed Abraham in all things. God told Abraham to name his son Isaac. God blessed Sarah and would give her a son, even though she was too old. Nothing's too hard for God. God had her a baby. Like he said he would. God appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre. There, Abraham spoke about judging Sodom. God would not destroy Sodom if there were just 10 good people there. After Abraham was done talking with God, God went his way down to Sodom to see what everyone was crying about. But God remembered Abraham, and so God sent Abraham's nephew Lot out before destroying the city of Sodom. Lot didn't like what the people were doing there. So out of heaven, God sent iron and brimstone down upon Sodom. He turned Sodom and the neighboring cities and the trees all into ashes. These cities are an example for us not to do what they were doing. Pharaoh wanted Abraham's wife. So God pled to Pharaoh and the people in his house. God made it so that no one could have babies. In a dream by night, God came to Pharaoh and didn't let Pharaoh touch Sarah. When Pharaoh let Sarah go, God healed him and his family. Abraham had to cast out his servant Hagar. Hagar and her son were thirsty. God heard how much Hagar was hurting, and he heard her son. So God opened Hagar's eyes so that she'd find water. God would be with her son and bless her son. God would give him many children too. Now, Abraham's son, Isaac grew up and God appeared to him. God kept his promise to Isaac. God did what he said he would do. He made a promise to Isaac and blessed Isaac. He listened to Isaac's prayer for a baby. God told Isaac's wife that there were two children in her tummy, and one that came out first would serve the one that comes out after. Both of these two children would have lots of children. Isaac's two children that came out of his wife's tummy were named Jacob and Esau. Jacob stole the birthright and ran away. He dreamed about a ladder. God stood above the ladder and spoke to Jacob in the dream. God said that he would give this land to Jacob and his children. Jacob got to his uncle's house, and his uncle gave him two wives. When God saw that Jacob didn't like the older wife, God gave her a baby that she asked for. Laban was angry at Jacob, but God told Laban not to say much to Jacob. God told Jacob to make an altar in Bethel. God made everybody afraid of Jacob. God appeared to Jacob again and blessed him. God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and God gave Israel a promise forever. Israel had lots of children. Israel got old and thought that his son Joseph was dead, but Joseph told his brothers to go get his dad. Israel, who used to be named Jacob, was old now, and he didn't know if he should go to Egypt. So God spake to Israel in the night. God said that he would go down to Egypt with him and his children. Also, God said that he would bring them back out of Egypt later. So Israel went down to go see Joseph over in Egypt. God used Joseph's mean brothers to send Joseph to Egypt. God's word tested Joseph while he was in fetters in jail. God had people take it easy on Joseph. God made people like Joseph. Joseph was made the leader of the jail. God was with Joseph. God helped Joseph a lot. Whatever Joseph did for other people, God blessed it. It prospered it. God called for a famine. That's when the food and water runs out. God stopped people from growing food. Joseph had a brother named Judah. Now, Judah had two bad sons. The sons were bad because they didn't want to marry the wife who lost her husband. They were supposed to marry her and have children, but they didn't want to. So God killed both of them. Pharaoh told the midwives to kill all the boy babies. And the midwife is a lady who helps babies to come out of the mom's tummy. So the midwives were afraid of Pharaoh, but they were more afraid of what God thought. So they didn't kill the baby boys. And since they were afraid of what God thinks, God blessed the midwives and gave them houses. God increased the children of Israel greatly. More baby boys were born, and girls. They became strong. God turned the hearts of the people of Egypt to hate his people. God raised up Pharaoh because God wanted to show that he's stronger. God wanted people all over the world, though, to think about him. God heard Israel's groanings. And God was afflicted with them while they were afflicted. But God remembered Israel in their low estate, and he would release them from Pharaoh. God spake to Moses from a bush, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God would make Pharaoh stubborn. Pharaoh would say, no, no. God would get honor from Pharaoh and all Pharaoh's army. This would make the Egyptians know about Israel's God. Israel's God was better than all the Egyptian idols. He showed his wonders, wow, to Israel. He has done wonderful works, wow. They saw God do marvelous things. God sent plagues on Egypt. Plagues, ouch, they hurt. What kind of plagues? Frogs, ouches, darkness, 10 different plagues, yikes. He turned the water to blood, yuck. He killed the fishes, no fish to eat. He sent various types of flies, a diverse assortment of fly buggies. The caterpillars and locust buggies ate the food they brought to their houses. Oh man, they did all that works, and the bugs ate it. Now their food is gone. The lice made their hair itchy. God told their fruit trees. God destroyed their fruit trees with hail from the sky. And destroyed some trees with frost, like ice. It's cold. He made a flaming fire go through the land and sent thunderbolts to burn away their flocks. I'm not sure if they had sheep, but God sent evil angels among the Egyptians. He didn't spare them from death. If they died during these things, he let the pestilence have whatever they would take the Egyptians. He caused trouble upon them. He was angry with them. God told Egypt to put blood on their doors. When God passed over and killed the firstborn of people and animals, of all who didn't put blood on their doors, God wanted people to know about him. God made Egypt like his people and give them things. So Egypt gave stuff to Israel before Israel left. And some Egyptians even followed Israel. The people of Egypt gave the people of Israel silver and gold. That's expensive. That costs a lot of money. Silver and gold takes a lot of work to get. God brought out Israel from Egypt with a strong hand and stretched out arm. He loosed his people from Egypt with his arm. Now Pharaoh's arm was no match for God. Pharaoh cast them out with a mighty arm. God saved his people from Egypt. God did terrible things by the Red Sea. Whoa. He rebuked the sea and caused it to go back by a strong east wind. All night he divided the sea into parts. He made the water stand up as a heap on the right hand and left. He made the land dry. God caused them to walk through. He led them through the depths. Pharaoh decided to go after Israel. God looked at Pharaoh's army through the pillar of fire or the cloud, and he troubled them. He took off their wheels. Pharaoh's army drove heavily. God divided the waters for them so that God could make for himself an everlasting name. We can forever remember what God did for Israel. He used Moses to bring them up out of the sea. Moses led them like a shepherd leads sheep. He put his spirit within Moses. His messenger saved them. He loosed them from Egypt because he loved them and pitied them. God gently led his people. He made Israel pass through the midst of the water, but overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts in the midst of the Red Sea. God's cloud fire marched in front of Israel. He led them through the wilderness. During the day, it was a cloud pillar to cover them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. During the night, it was a fire pillar to give them light. God told his plans to Moses. God showed his acts to Israel's children and talked with them from heaven. God was like a rock to Israel, strong, and God loosed Israel from Pharaoh. He safely led them and made Israel follow him like sheep. God rained sugar bread from heaven. God sent Moses. Moses was his servant. He also sent Aaron. He chose Aaron as well. God led the people by Moses and Aaron. Israel saw his devouring fire on the top of the mountain. He came down on Mount Sinai, and a cloud under his feet was a clear, dark, bluish thing. And God wrote his 10 commandments on 2 stone tables with his finger. God commanded to honor your dad and honor your mom, and if you curse them, then you die. Because the people made a young cow idol, God plagued them, and God said that he would destroy them, and Moses turned away God's anger. God had chosen Moses to lead Israel, and now Moses kept Israel from being destroyed. God turned from destroying his people. God made a promise to Moses and to Israel. God promised that Israel would be his peculiar people, and when he led them carefully out of Egypt, God promised to make them his peculiar treasure. If they obeyed, they didn't obey. So God didn't pay attention to them. God later made a different covenant by Jesus. Jesus would not only save Israel, but every believer like me. God was going to make Israel higher than all the other nations of the world. God wanted them to be a people set apart for him, his own people, his inheritance. God told Israel to call him Jehovah. He was their God. God would dwell among the children of Israel. God called a certain man named Bezalel. God filled him with his spirit and wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. He was a very good worker. And God gave him another man named Aholiab to work with Bezalel. God called Bezalel and gave him also Aholiab to make all the things God commanded Moses to put in the sanctuary tabernacle. God put wisdom and understanding in every wise heart of man to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. God's cloud was upon the tabernacle by day, and a fire on it by night, in the sight of all Israel, throughout all their journeys. His glory filled the tabernacle. God would sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. He would sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to him in the priest's office. Now God set apart all the firstborn for himself, both men and animals, and so the firstborn should belong to God. And so God instead took the children of Levi in place of taking everyone else's firstborn. So the Levites belong to God. God then gave his Levites to Aaron and his sons to help them serve Israel. God gave a law and history to Israel so that they would give it to their children. God talked about his Bible. He promised that the Savior would come out of Jerusalem. He promised to send, Jesus, by the prophets and the Bible. The bestest pastor is called the high priest. God tells which one is the high priest. Now, it's Jesus. From now on, Jesus will always be our high priest. God led them in the wilderness in the right way. He led them to the border of a special mountain. This mountain was considered his sanctuary, which his right hand purchased. Maybe Jerusalem. God clayed the rocks in wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clayed the rock also, and waters gushed out. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. He opened the rock and waters gushed out. He would give water out of a rock. And God commanded clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna, sugar crackers, upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind, and rained meat also upon them as the dust, millions of feathered birds, and he let it fall in the midst of their camp. God gave the people what they craved. People asked, and he brought quails, and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. God would bless their bread and their water, and would take sickness away from the midst of them. He blessed Israel in all the works of their hands. And 40 years the Lord was with them, and they lacked nothing. He gave them what they asked for, but sent leanness to their soul. He stretched forth his hands all day long unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And so he gave them up their filthy hearts' desires, and their days he consumed away in vanity, letting them wander around in the wilderness. He was not well pleased with many of those Israelites because of unbelief. God promised the unbelievers would not enter into his rest, because they always erred in heart, and didn't know his ways. He was grieved with them for 40 years. He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquities and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh. Israel asked if they should attack King Arad. God hearkened and delivered the bad King Arad into Israel's hand. Israel got Arad. God tested Israel before giving them water to drink, and then made the bitter water sweet. God was set apart in Israel at the water of Meribah. God was angry at their unbelief, and said that he would not take them to his home. His anger was kindled against the people who complained, and those who lusted to eat meat. He smote the people with a very great plague. The Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because the complainers did not trust him. The anger of God came upon them and slew the best of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. He slew them. God sent aggressive snakes among the people who murmured. He destroyed them, Israel, in the wilderness, because they believed not. He destroyed those who believed not. He lifted up his hand against them, and overthrew them in the wilderness. His fire burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Uttermost parts. At night, God came to a man named Balaam, spoke to him. God said, if men come to thee, rise up and go with them. Balaam saddled his ass and went up in the morning with him. God's anger was kindled because Balaam went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. God opened the mouth of the female donkey, and she spoke unto Balaam. God opened the eyes of Balaam to see the angel. God gave Balaam what words to say, and told him to return to King Balak. The women came out, which tempted the men of Israel to start joining with the women and the idols. God's anger was kindled. God would cause Israel's children to be scattered throughout the nations. God told Moses to hang the heads of those men out in the sun so that his anger would be turned from the rest of Israel. One man and woman were right outside the tabernacle doing bad. They weren't even married. So the ruler Phinehas killed them both at once. So God's wrath was turned away from the other Israelites. God wouldn't zealously consume the rest of them, along with the evildoers. God then promised peace to Phinehas, Aaron's grandson. God's glory appeared unto all the people, and his fire consumed the burnt offering and the fat upon the altar. A couple bad boys offered strange fire to God, so there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them. Those two bad boys died before God. Also, they went out fire from God to consume 250 rebels. The people were stiff-necked, so God would not go near them or else he consumed them. So instead, he sent an angel to lead them into the promised land that he prepared for them. His angel would go in front of the Israelites and destroy the nations in front of them. The angel would drive out lots of different bad guys and lead them to a place rich with milk and honey sugar. Yummy. God told Joshua what to do. God smote the country in front of Israel. He cast out nations in front of Israel and gave them Canaan land. God slew great and famous kings. He delivered King Og and King Sihon into Israel's hand. But God told Israel not to fight Moab and Ammon because he gave Abraham's nephew Lot that land. God made everyone scared of Israel. God cast out the bad guys in front of Israel and made the Israelites take their houses. God gave their lands to Israel because they were bad. Because the moms and dads in Israel complained too much, God let them die in the wilderness. But Caleb and Joshua trusted God, telling people not to complain against God. So God only let Caleb and Joshua and the children under 20 into the land. And by the way, many of those children still remember coming out of Egypt. God slew great and famous kings. God told Israel that if they got into the land and start being bad, then he would cast them out of the land. But when they eventually gathered them back again. Now let's learn about Moses. God sent Moses to the children of Israel to deliver them from Egypt. God put miracles, signs, wonders in Moses' hand. God sent Moses to do miracles. One time, God stood in front of Moses. He stood with Moses, having came down in a cloud. God put Moses in a cliff while his glory passed by Moses. God covered Moses with his hand while he passed by. God made all his goodness pass in front of Moses. During this time, God proclaimed his own character. God said that he's merciful and gracious. Gracious is when you give to someone for free. And God said that he's long-suffering. That means he waits to forgive us, even though we did bad. God said that he has plenty much goodness and truth. God has kept mercy for thousands of people, forgiving when they do bad. But God will not forgive the wicked, stubborn, hard-hearted sins. No. God will not forgive their sins. He will make sure the bad guy gets space, and the children too, if they don't repent. God's voice answered Moses. God spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. God knew Moses face to face. No man has seen God, though. If a person did see God's face, he would die. God would be near Moses and give sleep to Moses, and knew Moses by name. God liked Moses. God made his goodness pass by Moses. God told Moses how to build a tabernacle. A tabernacle was like God's tent. Sanctuary. God made laws for the children of Israel. He gave the laws to Moses so that Moses could give the laws to the people. God took the spirit he put on Moses and gave that spirit to 70 wise men. Moses asked God to forgive the children of Israel, so God did forgive. God showed the promised land to Moses, but said that Moses wouldn't go through the water into the land. Instead, God told Moses to go up to the mountain and look at the land, and then Moses would die in that mount because Moses sinned. God showed all the land to Moses.
The Lord spake to Joshua. God gave Israel land, which he promised to give to their fathers. God said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Haven't I commanded you, Joshua? The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God says, this day will I begin to magnify thee, make you look big in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. This day I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king and the mighty men of valor. Israel is now about to be like a big nation. But after Jericho, there was a problem. The Lord's anger was kindled against the children of Israel. He made a covenant with them and demanded them. But he says, I will not be with you anymore except you destroy the cursed thing from among you. Achan, he was bad. And so the Lord took a tribe, a family, a household, and he showed who it was. It was Achan. And so they'd been handed stone naked. They took away that cursed man. And so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. And God says, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. I will give it into thine hand. That means I'm going to let you grab it up. And I delivered them into thy hand, he says. So the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. He chased them along the way. He smote them. He cast down great stones from heaven upon them. And he delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. There was no day like this one that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. Remember when Joshua said, some stand still. The Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. The Lord delivered Libnah also. He also delivered Lachish. He delivered lots of people into the hand of Israel. Israel got them. He smote their enemies in the hinder parts. That means they were running away. He put them to a perpetual reproach. That means they were embarrassed. Thou didst deliver, God deliver the heathen with his hand, and he planted Israel. He cast out those bad guys. He afflicted them. And Joshua, he smote all the country of the hills and the south and the vale and the springs and their kings, and he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathe. Because that's what the Lord God of Israel commanded him to do. Tomorrow about this time, God says, I will deliver them up all slain before Israel. And sure enough, the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel. The Lord bade, he commanded Joshua, he commanded Moses. But there was no city that made peace with Israel. It was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that he might destroy them utterly. He wanted all those bad guys gone. He didn't want to have favor on them. And God says, I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. The Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he promised to give to their fathers. The Lord gave them rest round about, so the enemies weren't attacking them anymore. They had rest, just like he promised their fathers. The Lord delivered all the enemies into their hand. And everything that God spoke didn't fail. All the good stuff that he was going to give them, all good, he gave them that land. And the Lord gave rest from their enemies. And then Joshua dies. Israel asked, and the Lord said, Judah. I delivered the land into Judah's hand. And sure enough, the Lord was with Judah, and he was with the house of Joseph. But a problem came. You see that the Lord, they forsook the Lord, Israel did, and they served Baal and Ashtaroth, idols. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers. Spoilers means they steal their stuff.
He sold them into the hand of their enemies. God sold his people to the enemies, even mistaken, because they were bad. They were worshiping idols. This was God's people, Israel. And wherever they went to, God's hand was against them for evil. God was doing. And as the Lord had said, just like the Lord promised them, he said that he would curse them if they would be bad. They were. The Lord raised up judges. And when the Lord would raise up a judge, the Lord would be with that judge. And he'd save them out of the hand of the enemy. All the days of that judge. And then remember that lady Deborah, and then Gideon, Samson? He would use these judges. And it would repent the Lord because of their groanings. They'd start crying. And the Lord would turn and give them a judge to save them. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel because they were being bad again. And he says, because this people have transgressed my covenant, the promise, which I commanded their fathers, because they haven't hearkened unto my voice, I will not henceforth drive out any before of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I might prove Israel. God's going to keep some bad guys around Israel to keep them in check, whether they'll keep the way the Lord walked through it as their fathers did or not. And so the Lord left those nations. He didn't drive them out hastily. Neither delivered he them into Joshua's hand. He left those nations to prove Israel. If Israel be bad, yeah, he'd bring the nation back in, you know. But they did evil in the sight of the Lord, sure enough. They forgot the Lord, and they started serving Balaam and groves and idols. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of one of the kings, the Mesopotamian king. And the Lord raised up a savior, a deliverer. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And the Lord delivered, the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord again. And so the Lord raised up another deliverer after they cried to him. And then they were evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Sisera. And then the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots, all his hosts, and he had his sword before Barak and Deborah. And God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before Israel. And so we see back and forth, back and forth. They would do evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord would spank them, and then they would repent and cry to the Lord, and then the Lord would save them. But then after a while, they'd do evil again. And this time they did evil. God delivered them into the hand of Midian. So the Lord sent a prophet. And God looked upon a certain man there, his name's Gideon. And he says, have not I sent thee? And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And then Gideon puts out the fleece and asked for water on the fleece and off the fleece. And God did so that night. Okay? So it was evident. This is from the Lord. God does want Gideon here to save the Lord, to save Israel. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel mock themselves. I will try them for thee down in the water and say to thee, who shall go and who shall not go? And there was only 300 men. And God says, by the 300 men that lapped, I'll save you and deliver the Midianites into their hand. In thine hand. I have delivered the host in thine hand. And that's what happened. The Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. The enemies were all fighting each other. God delivered them. God rendered. Okay, then there's another guy, Abimelech. He was sort of the son of Gideon, and the Lord rendered his wickedness. Abimelech and all the evil of the men of Shechem, God rendered upon their heads. And God came one day after they went bad again, and God said, I delivered you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from Ammon, from the Philistines, the Zidonians, the Amalekites, the Maonites. They did oppress you, and you cried unto me, and I delivered you, I saved you out of their hand. Yet have you forsaken me and served other gods? I'll deliver you no more. Go and cry to the other gods which you've chosen, the idols. Go tell them to save you, basically. Okay, and so Israel cried again to the Lord. They didn't know what else to do. You see, God said, they kept saving them and saving them. But you keep going back to idols. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Okay, so, and the Lord delivered them into Jephthah's hands. And the Lord delivered them, Israel, then into the hand of the Philistines because they did evil again. He just saved them by Jephthah. Now they're doing evil again. And God, and so they start crying unto him. And so the angel came to tell about Samson was going to be born. And then God hearkened to the voice of Manoah and came again to tell him as well. First came, the angel came to his wife. And so the Spirit of the Lord began to move Samson at times. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he went to lion. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he slew 30 men. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were on his arms became as flax. And then God, Samson was real thirsty after fighting 1,000 guys, and so the Lord laid a hollow place in the jaw. And the Lord was departed from Samson, and they put out his eyes, you know, after they cut his hair, got the girly. Now, which, later, Benjamin did some bad stuff, and so the rest of the Israelites asked, which should go against Benjamin? And the Lord says, Judah should go first. And they got defeated. And so they asked again, and the Lord said, go up against them. And they got defeated again. And they're like, should we cease? And the Lord said, go up for tomorrow, I'll deliver him into town here. The Lord smote Benjamin before Israel. And so the Lord made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Benjamin, the other tribes were fighting against Benjamin. So that was strange. When God heard this about the idols, he was wroth, and he greatly abhorred Israel. He gave his people over also into the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. That was Israel, they were supposed to be his inheritance. And the wrath of the Lord came against the people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, Israel. And he gave them into the hands of the heathen, is people who are not from Israel. He gave them into other people's hands. And they that hated them ruled over them. And he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. Remember what he said to Abraham? You know, he's going to give him the land. He's going to make his seed great. So he remembered that. And he regarded their affliction. He heard their cry. And he made them pity of those who carried them away captive. So those who put them, who were spanking them in the back, he started to feel sorry for God's people. God made them feel sorry for his people. And then he brought forth his people with joy. He chose his people, and now they're coming forth with gladness. And so back and forth, we see. They get spanked, and then God hears them and delivers them. And then one time, when they get carried away captive, he makes the enemy feel sorry for them. So he helps them out. Now, we're going to talk about Ruth. The Lord gave Ruth conception. And that's, I think, the only thing it says there. And then let's talk about Samuel. Well, his mother's name is Hannah. The Lord shut up Hannah's womb at first. The Lord had shut up her womb, but then he remembered her. She prayed. And the Lord visited Hannah. And then, of course, you know that the Lord would slay Eli's sons because they were bad. Remember the bad stuff they were doing? And the Lord called Samuel. This was when he was young. And the Lord yet again called Samuel. The word of the Lord was not revealed unto him yet. He didn't know what it was. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. It was the Lord that called the job. Eli proceeded. And so Eli tells him to address the Lord. And the Lord came and stood and called it other times, Samuel, Samuel. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel. The ears will tingle. Oh boy, I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. And when I begin, I'll also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile. And he didn't restrain them. The dad didn't restrain his sons. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. The Lord was with Samuel. The Lord didn't let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Oh, wow. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Then the ark was taken. And the hand of the Lord was heavy upon those who took the ark. After they carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And the Lord smote. And the hand of the Lord was very heavy there. The Lord had smitten many of the people with great slaughter. And God forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent they placed among men. After they gave the ark back, the people told Samuel to pray. And so he did. He cried unto the Lord of Israel, and the Lord heard him. And the Lord thundered with great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. The Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. So Samuel is judging people right now, and he's going to be the last judge. After him, there's going to be some kings, starting with King Saul. We'll get there. Now the Lord said to Samuel, the people rejected me that I should not reign over them, like when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day. It seems like people are always rejecting God. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken to the voice, make him a king. They want a king? Go ahead and make it. And the Lord had told Samuel in his ear, that's how God would speak to Samuel in his ear, before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man out of the land of Benjamin, that he may save my people out of the hands of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because your cry has come unto me. And so people want a king, and they want somebody to save them from the Philistines, and Saul is coming tomorrow. And so when Saul comes, well, when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, the man who I spake to thee of. This is the guy. Saul here. This same shall reign over my people. He's going to be king. He's going to reign. The king reigns over. He rules the people. When Saul had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. The Spirit of God came upon Saul after a company of prophets met him. And so they're getting ready to have a king. And then people are asking, where's Saul? And the Lord answered, behold, he hid himself from the stuff. Saul was hiding. But then after Saul was made known to be king, God touched the hearts of a band of men to follow Saul. So these guys didn't follow Saul around. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard these tidings. And so he got angry. He hewed some oxen and sent them all over. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the people after that. And so they started following Saul and helping him out. And they were letting him be the king now. And the day that Israel demanded a king, by the way, the Lord had sent thunder and rain just to show disapproval. And the Lord saved Israel that day. Later Saul was bad, and so God didn't answer Saul that day. And then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, hey, repent me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments. I rejected him from reigning over Israel. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hears that he'll kill me? Saul's a bad guy, isn't he? And the Lord said, take an heifer, call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint whom any unto thee. And Samuel is looking on the sons of Jesse, and the older one passes before him. He said, and the Lord says, I refuse him. The Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so Samuel answers, is all your sons? No, I got one more. His name's David. Go out and get him. And the Lord says, arise, anoint him, for this is he. The Lord answered Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that anointing day forward. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. The Lord was with David and was departed from Saul. The messengers were sent to kill David from Saul. The Spirit of God came up, was upon the messengers of Saul. And then also Saul came. And the Spirit of God was upon him. He just started prophesying. So he couldn't get David. Kind of funny. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And then David inquired of the Lord again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines in thine hand. David asked if Saul would come down. The Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will men of Keilah deliver me, my men, into Saul's hand? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. But God delivered not David into Saul's hand. And there was this foolish man named Nabal, and the Lord smote him, and he died. The Lord took care of David's problem. David didn't raise his hand up, thanks to a wise woman named Abigail. So Saul is scared, and the Lord answered him not. And David inquired, and the Lord answered him. He said, go up. He says, whither? He said, unto Hebron. And so the Lord was talking to David, and David waxed greater and greater, and the Lord of hosts was with David. And the Lord had established David king, and exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines, without thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David inquired of the Lord. He said, and the Lord said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Wait for sound, for then shall God the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord commanded, and the Lord saved them by great deliverance from the Philistines. And the angel of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. Okay, so this is after David becomes king. Okay, so David becomes king, and he's bringing the ark of God. That's important to him. But you're not supposed to touch the ark of God, because then you'll die. Well, Uzzah touched the ark. And so the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and got smote Uzzah, and he died before the Lord. And because of this breach that God made on Uzzah, David was afraid, and sent it to Obed-Edom's house. And God blessed Obed-Edom and his household that he had. And the Lord gave David rest, confirmed David to be king, The Lord brought the fear of him on all nations. Well, that's interesting. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. He brought David to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. The word of the Lord came to Nathan. This is after David wants to build a house for the Lord. And at first, Nathan was like, go ahead, but the word of the Lord came to Nathan. And he says, tell David this, okay? I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day. But I have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle, in all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel. Speak I a word of any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye me not a house of cedar? I took David from among the sheepfold. I was with him, with whosoever thou wouldest, and I have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight. And have made thee a great name. The Lord says to David, through Nathan, I will appoint your day and place for my people Israel, and I will plant them. I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. I will do all thine enemies. The Lord will make build thee, David, a house. And I will set up thy seed after thee. I will establish thy kingdom. I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forevermore. I think he's talking about Jesus. He says, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. If he commit iniquity, I'll taste him with the rod of men, and the stripes of the children of men. I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. So maybe he's talking about Solomon. But the Lord swore unto David, and he would not turn from it. The fruit of his body will I set upon him. He says to David, your son is going to continue the kingly line. The Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Uh-oh. David was doing good up until this point. Oh, he did something bad with a girl. He stole the man's wife, and then he killed the man just to steal his wife. And so the Lord sent Nathan to David again. Well, the first time, it was nice. It was good, but this time, Nathan has bad news for David. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And so first of all, the child dies. And the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that God might bring evil upon Absalom. And so, because David sinned, not only did the child die, but David got kicked out from being king, and his son took the throne. But God wanted to kick his son back out and bring David back eventually. And that's what happened, and so David came back to be the king again after his son died. His family got in a big fight. Then God set a famine. That's where they have no food and very little water. They don't have enough. For 3 years, there was a famine. David asked the Lord, and the Lord told him why. The Lord answered, it's for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. Saul did something bad, and so David needed to make up for that. And then after that, God was entreated for the land. And the Lord had delivered David out of all the hands of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. The Lord brought a great victory. One day, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And another time, he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. So God is angry at Israel. He causes David to do something, and which displeases him. And the Lord spake to David, Gad, David's prophet, which is called a seer is a prophet. And he said, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, he gave him three choices. You can choose one of them, that I may do it unto thee. What kind of snake do you want? One of them was a pestilence, one of them was, I think, different thing. But the one he chose was a pestilence. And just 3 days of pestilence. And so the Lord sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld and repented him of the evil. And said to the angel that destroyed the people, it's enough, stay now thy hand. It's enough snakes. The Lord commanded the angel. David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And the Lord answered David in the threshing floor. God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. Obed-Edom had 8 sons because God had blessed him while he had the Ark of the Covenant. And the Lord, his God, was with Solomon. And the Lord magnified Solomon, David's son, exceedingly. So some time has passed in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty. And one night in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. God said, ask what I shall give thee. And so Solomon asked for wisdom. And God said to Solomon, because Solomon didn't ask for a long life, which is life of enemies, but instead understanding, to discern judgment. I have done according to thy words, he tells Solomon. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, none like her, before or after you. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, above your contemporaries. I have made thee king to judge my people. I will lengthen thy days, and thou wilt walk my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk. And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he had promised. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all commandments to walk in them, then I will perform my word with thee, which I spake to David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel. So if you do good, I'm going to bless you, God says to Solomon and to the people. And the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord that Solomon had made, and all the goodness that the Lord had done for David and his servant and for Solomon and for Israel, his people. And the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had appeared unto him in Gibeon. That's interesting. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. And Solomon made this big prayer to God. And so God says, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and they turn from their wicked ways, if they repent, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. I have chosen, sanctified, hallowed this house, to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk in my ways as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, I will keep my statutes and my judgments, and I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I have promised, covenanted to David thy father. Say, there shall not build a man upon the throne of ruler of Israel. So as long as you be good, Solomon, God is telling you, then you will continue to be king, and your children will continue to be king. But God says, if you shall at all turn from following me, you and your children, and will not keep my commands, my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, and then I'll pluck you up, cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed, sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Well, God put wisdom in Solomon's heart. The Lord, here we see Solomon doing something bad. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Remember, God came two times to Solomon, and he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But what's Solomon doing? Now he's going after idols. Oh, man. He kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as you have done this thing, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it, because of David your father, for his sake. But I will rend it out of the hand of your son. Howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son, for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And then the Lord stirred up adversaries to Solomon. Bad guys, enemies. And then God stirred him up another adversary. And so God didn't like that Solomon went after idols. God had appeared to Solomon two times. And now Solomon's going after idols. And so God says to Solomon, I'm going to take away your kingdom. But I can't take it away totally because I told your dad that I would that I would keep it in your family. So I'll give one little piece of the kingdom to your son. And then God also stirs up bad guys to Solomon. Before that, Solomon didn't have to worry about the bad guys. Not too much. Well, Solomon's son is named Rehoboam, and Rehoboam didn't hearken to the people. He wasn't very smart. For this cause, the cause was of God, from the Lord, that he might perform his words and his sayings which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So God made a promise he was going to keep it. He said that he would take the kingdom away, and he did, and only one tribe stayed with Rehoboam. And so the Lord used Rehoboam's folly to do this. And the word of the Lord came unto Shemaiah the man of God, saying, to not fight the ten departing tribes, because this is from the Lord. He said, return every man to your house, for this thing is done of me, God said. So Rehoboam returned. This was on purpose. He's only supposed to be the king of one tribe. The other 10 tribes, they're going to go after idols. Rehoboam forsakes God. Now he forsook God. And Egypt attacks. When the Lord saw it, they humbled themselves. That's good. I'm glad they humbled themselves. The word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. I will save them, for my wrath shall not be poured upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. And so Rehoboam would only pay him tribute, some tax, money. And so the Lord saved him, because he humbled himself. The word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back, and he cried unto the man of God. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, the wife of Jeroboam comes feigning as another. So here's Jeroboam's wife. She's pretending to be another person. And the Lord tells the prophet about her before she gets there. And so when she does come, he addresses her. Jerusalem was the city that God did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. They provoked the Lord to jealousy with their sins, which they committed above all their fathers had done, according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Remember, God had Israel take out these bad guys to begin with. And now Israel's doing the same thing as these bad guys used to do. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him hope, a lamp in Jerusalem. He set up his son after him to establish Jerusalem, because David did right in the eyes of the Lord. So because of the promise made to David, God kept at least one tribe in Israel. Oh. He turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. That's what David did, except for when he killed Uriah. That was the one bad thing David did, but he repented of that. And when the king humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, and he would not destroy him altogether. The Lord had chosen Jerusalem to put his name there. God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. God delivered Israel into Judah's hand, and the Lord struck Jeroboam, and he died. There was no war, because the Lord gave Asa rest. And the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, and destroyed before the Lord, before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gedar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And the spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah. And the Lord his God was with Asa. Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days, and the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hananiah, against Asa. And what did God say to him? God says, for as much as I exalted thee out of the dust, just a little dust, and I raised you up out of the dust, and made you a prince, a king, over my people Israel. And thou hast walked in the ways of Jeroboam, you've done bad, and hast made thy people Israel to do bad. So now the people are doing bad because you're doing bad, king, to provoke me to anger with their sins, and now God's angry at you. Behold, I will take, God says, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of your children. I'm going to take away your children and your house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam. He was bad, and now you're bad. I took away his house, and guess what? I'm going to take away your house. Him that dies of Baasha in the city shall dogs eat, and him that dies in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. Came the word of the Lord against Baasha, against his house, even for all the evil that he did inside the Lord. Baasha was bad. He provoked the Lord to anger with the works of his hand. He was like the house of Jeroboam. And he killed him. There was no rain. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, hide thyself by the brook Cherith. I commanded the ravens there to sustain thee. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And then the widow brought the son to Elijah. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let the child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And so the son resurrected. The word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And the fire of the Lord fell. Remember when Baal and all the prophets were sacrificing, saying, oh, Baal, hear us, send fire, and Baal didn't do it. But then Elijah prayed, and the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed burnt offering, wood, and the stones of the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And that is a really hot fire. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the Lord God. And the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah says, and then God says to Elijah, go forth, and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains. Can you believe that? A wind broke the mountains in half. That's how strong the wind was. And it breaking pieces of rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in that wind. That was a huge wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Well, after that wind, I wonder how big the earthquake was. But the Lord was not in the earthquake either. And then it was a fire. And the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Just a small voice. And God said to him, I have left me 7,000 in Israel. Okay? There's 7,000 more people in Israel. You're not the only one, Elijah. So his answer to Elias was, I reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the idol Baal. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days. But in his son's day, will I bring evil on that king's house. Okay, so the bad guy, he humbles himself, and so God decides not to bring evil yet. And the minstrel played, and the person who plays the instrument, he plays his music, and the hand of the Lord came upon the prophet. And then the Lord gave deliverance unto Syria by the hand of Naaman. And there was also a young man, and the Lord opened his eyes, and so he saw full of, the mountain was full of chariots and horses. He saw God's protection. And then when the bad guys came, the Lord smote them with blindness, just like Elisha asked for. And then the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And the Lord one night made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. So made them run away. And just like the Lord prophesied. Now they were bad, some people were bad, but the Lord would not destroy Judah because of David his servant, as he promised to give him always a light to his children. And so the Lord made a promise to David, and God will keep his promise, even though they were bad. And the Lord gave him a lot of spanks, but he kept coming back because the Lord promised David, he promised Israel, he promised Abraham. The Lord said unto Jehu, because you have done well. What did Jehu do? What did he do well? Well, he got a bunch of bad guys. And so because you have done well in executing that which is right in my eyes, and has done in the house of Jacob, according to all that was in my heart. Apparently it was in God's heart to destroy all these bad guys, and that's exactly what Jehu did. And so God blesses him. God says, your children, to the fourth generation, will be king of Israel. So that was a pretty big blessing. His great-grandchildren would rule over Israel as king. In those days, the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coast of Israel. He's from Syria. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and followed the sins of Jeroboam. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them in the hand of Hazael and Ben-Hadad all the days. And Jehoahaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him, for he saw the oppression of Israel. God saw the oppression of Israel, and so he hearkened. The Lord gave Israel a savior. So Israel did bad, and God spanked them. And now Israel, God sees their Israel. He pities them now, and so he gives them a savior to save them, so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians. And Hazael, who's the king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them, because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He would not destroy them, neither cast he out them from his presence yet. The Lord spake by the hand of his servant Jonah. You know the story of Jonah? Well, I don't know if it's the same man, but let's take a look at Jonah. That sounds like a good story. So here I turn to the book of Jonah, and it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And, of course, Jonah sent to the Ninevites. And the Lord sent a great wind, okay? But he went the opposite direction, he went to the water. So the Lord has to send a great wind, and the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Okay, and so Jonah prays, and the Lord spake to the fish. And so the fish did not. And so Jonah, he finally goes over there, and he tells them to repent, and they do. And so God saw their work, so they turned from their evil way. And what did God do? He repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them. And he did it not. Repent means turn. He turned from the evil. He was going to do evil to them, but they're good now. They repented. And so he did it. He did destroy them. And the Lord, and so Jonah, he's not happy. And so the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come over Jonah, so there might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. And so it was nice and cool underneath that gourd, I guess, you know. The sun was beating on his head, it would have been very hot, but God made a nice little gourd over his head. But then that night God prepared a worm. And then God prepared a vehement east wind to blow the heat at Jonah. And Jonah, oh man, he's angry and he wants to die. And he's not caring about Nineveh. And God points that out to him, that Jonah just didn't care about all the people, all the children, and all the animals even. Jonah just really didn't care. Well, anyway, that's the story of Jonah. And so let's head back to where we were just talking about. We were going through the kings of Israel. And what we're seeing is that there's bad kings, and then God spanks them, and then they repent, and God feels sorry for them, and so he saves them. And then after a while, they go bad again. And so that's what we've been seeing. So I'm just looking forward to where we left off. Okay, so we just talked about Jonah. So then, the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. There was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said that he would not blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam. And so the Lord would not blot out Israel. Okay. The Lord made a promise. The Lord's going to keep his promise. He's going to make this thing work. Israel kept being bad, but the Lord was going to keep Israel. And in those days, the Lord began to send against Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Israel started doing really bad, and the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Remember, God did that for them. God is powerful, and God cares for them. And he took them out from under the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. But now they're fearing other gods. They're walking in the statutes of the heathen. They're doing the things that the people did that God cast out before them. They're being like the bad guys. God already cast out the bad guys, and they put the children of Israel there, and now they're doing the same things. They're doing the things that the heathen did, that the Lord already carried away before them. And they wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. They provoked the Lord to be angry. And they served idols, wherefore the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets. He kept sending them prophets and all the seers, saying, repent, repent, turn ye from your evil ways. Keep my commandment and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, which I have sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Repent, do the good, do what I tell you. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but harden their necks like the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his commandments that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which they testified against him. And they followed vanity and became vain. And vanity means empty, useless. They just went after nothing. And they went after the heathen that were round about them. Concerning the Lord had charged them, they should not be like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God. And they made them molten images, idols. They carved out idols and made them groves and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, the stars and the moon. And they served Baal, an idol. They wanted them to be their master and told them to do bad things. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through fire Yikes! They used divinations and enchantments and sold themselves. They sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Wow. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. No wonder. They transgressed against the God of their fathers and went whoring after the gods of the people. What's a whoring mean? They're like, gimme. I want the idols. I want them. And the people of the land got destroyed before them. And the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, the king of Assyria, and also the king of the other king of Assyria. And they carried them away captive. As the north also do the commandments of the Lord. So first the Lord carries the north away captive, and now he's going to also carry away the south away captive. And they kept not the commandments of the Lord. They walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. They made up their own laws. They rejected the Lord. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hands of spoilers, the stealers of, until he had cast them out of his sight. No wonder he cast them out. The Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all the servants and the prophets. You remember back in Moses, he even told Moses, he said that if they got too bad, he would have to cast them out. But of course, that reminds me of something else. Remember, he said that even if he did do that one day, he would eventually bring them back, because he will keep his promise. But right now, they just need to be snake. And so they feared not the Lord. Therefore, the Lord, they sent people back and tried to replace Israel. But those people didn't fear the Lord, and so God sent lions among them. God kept their spot. One day Israel would come back to that spot. Until then, the lions were keeping it for them. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. But sought unto the Lord God his fathers and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So this is a good king. Okay, so we're backing up a little bit. Let's think more about these kings. There was some good kings. Let's take a look at the good one. And the Lord established the kingdom in Jehoshaphat's hand. And Jehoshaphat was actually a little bit wavery, but seems like, but he cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. So here they are, and they're about to attack him. He cries out to God, and God has them move, and so they don't get him. So God protects Jehoshaphat. Then upon Jehaziel, the line of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord amidst the congregation to Jehoshaphat. Now Asaph was a prophet, and Jehaziel apparently was a prophet. And the Lord sent a message to Jehoshaphat through this prophet. And so when they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon. And so the Lord had made them, Jehoshaphat and his army, to rejoice over their enemies. And they didn't even have to do battle. They were just playing the trumpets or whatever. They were just singing. And then they took up as well. So God saved him. It was a total save. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God had given him rest round about. Joram wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Oh man, an evil guy. Howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he made with David. Remember, he promised to give him a life to him and his sons forever. So he kept it. The Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians, and gave him some snakes. The Lord smote Joram in his bowels with an incurable disease. Oh, that was a hurt. And the destruction of so his bowels is his belly. So in his belly he has an incurable sickness, a disease. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God. Was of God by coming to Jehoram. For when he was come out, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. So the Lord anoints this guy to cut off, to kill the house of Ahab. And then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, and Zechariah prophesied, and they didn't like the way he prophesied, so they killed him. That was bad. They're killing God's prophets. Why? Because it's bad. They don't want to hear from God. But God warned them, and the Lord delivered a very great host into Assyria's hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. They forsake the Lord, and so he delivers them to the bad guys. And the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. It's interesting. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet. Well, that's nice of the Lord. Here Amaziah was doing bad, and then God gives him a prophet. Hey, maybe he'll repent, maybe he'll turn around, maybe he'll do good. And then God made him prosper, and God helped him against the Philistines, but Uzziah changed. Okay, Uzziah was doing pretty good, but the Lord smote him. His name is also Azariah, by the way. He smote him with leprosy. And the Lord God delivered Ahaz into the hand of the king of Syria. Ahab worshipped like the heathen. He worshipped idols. And the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz. He was worshipping idols. And God made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. When it says he made him naked, what's that mean? It means he took away their army as a country so they couldn't defend themselves. And then God had prepared the people for a special time. You see, there was a good king coming up, Hezekiah. And suddenly there was going to be a revival. And so that's what God was preparing for. He prepared for it. And the hand of the Lord was given one heart to do the command of the king. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. So here's a good king. He just comes in. Suddenly everybody has a revival. It's all good. And the Lord saved Hezekiah in the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib. Just in time. Sennacherib was about to wipe him out. And then God saved him. You remember the story with Isaiah? And the king Sennacherib had all these people he was about to get him. And then God just wipes him out one night. He just sends an angel and takes out thousands of bad guys. Easy. He said to Hezekiah, I will send a blast upon Sennacherib, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. I will defend the city to save it for my own sake and for David, my servant's sake. To Sennacherib, he said, Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and the ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities, ruinous heaps. I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me, and thy tumult is come up into my ear, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose, and the bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back in the way thou camest. The angel of the Lord went forth, smote 145,000 of Sennacherib's army. He saved him. And so Hezekiah, he kept the commandments of God, and which the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with Hezekiah. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, tell Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. You see, Hezekiah, he was crying because he was going to die, and he didn't want to die. And so the prophet came to him and told him this. And God says, go tell Hezekiah, I have seen your tears. I will heal you. I'll give you 15 more years. And I'll also save the city from the king of Assyria, before David, my servant, sake. And so Hezekiah was sick, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. He turned the sun back. But Hezekiah wondered not again. His heart was lifted up. Oh boy, that's bad. Hezekiah's getting proud. Therefore the wrath came upon Hezekiah and upon Judah and Jerusalem. And then again he humbles himself for the pride of his heart, both he and Jerusalem, his people. So the wrath of the Lord came out upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Boy, God gave him extra years, and then he goes and beats bad. And then he gets snagged, and then he repents again during those 15 years. So God gave Hezekiah much substance, lots of stuff. And he left Hezekiah in order to test him. Now there's another king, a bad king. His name was Manasseh. He was worse than the heathen that the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to the people, but they would not hearken. He warned them. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them Assyria. And so Assyria took King Manasseh captive, and then Manasseh cries out. And God was entreated on Manasseh. He heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem. And that's interesting because here Manasseh is a really bad guy. But God hears him when he's in prison, when he's in jail. He cries out, and God hears him, even though he's a really bad guy. He said that he would do good. But he did do evil in the sight of the Lord. He did what the heathens did abominations, things that the Lord abominates. He doesn't like. The Lord cast out the heathen, and Manasseh did the same stuff. Manasseh seduced. The Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, the king of Judah, has done these abominations, and has done wickedly above all the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. And therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears of it, his ears shall tingle. Oh, boy. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Have you ever tried to wipe your plate before? That's what God's going to do. He's just going to wipe Jerusalem. And I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance, and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. God's going to let the enemies have his inheritance, Israel, because they have done that which is evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger. Since the days their fathers came out of Egypt, even unto this day, God was provoked. There was also another king. His name was Josiah, and he was a pretty good king, actually. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his wrath, his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. Manasseh was such a bad guy, Judah was so bad, that even though Josiah was a good king, the Lord was still just angry, and he was going to give them a very big spanking, going to take them out of their own land. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah out of my sight, as I have removed Israel. I will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I had chosen, and the house that I said my name would be there. And the Lord sent against Jehoiakim bands of the Chaldeans, bands of the Syrians, and Moabites, and Ammonites. He sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by servants the prophets. He said that this was coming. Surely the command of the Lord came. This came upon Judah to remove him out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and all the innocent blood they shed. He would kill babies. He filled Jerusalem. The Lord would not pardon. He would not forgive all this bad. Zedekiah did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord too, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord came pass in Jerusalem and Judah until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Transgressions, abominations, bad stuff. The Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, the prophets. He rose up the times. He's sending them because he had compassion on his people. He wanted good for them. And so he'd send them prophets, and the prophets would say, turn, repent, and on his dwelling place. And they mocked the messengers of God. They mocked the prophets. Oh, they despised the words. They misused his prophets. They even killed the prophets. Until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, there was no remedy. There was no healing. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Babylon, the bad guys. He gave them all into his hand. And so he took his people, and he gave them into the hand of the bad guys, and let them punish, thank them. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. And he made proclamation through all his kingdom. This is after 7 years. God had raised up the spirits of several to go build the temple. So they're getting spanked. They go into captivity for 70 years. And then after 7 years, God raises up one king and has him let the people loose again. So after 7 years, he lets them come back to the land. And the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cease till the matter came to Darius. Okay, so there's bad guys in there, and they're trying to get them to stop working. But the elders of the Jews, they're not going to stop working. You know, they got sent back by Cyrus. God says, go back, build your land. It's been 7 years. You've been spanked for long enough. Go back to your land. So they went back to the land. They start building the temple. They start building the walls. And the bad guys are saying, no, don't build the walls. And they're trying to stop them. But hey, they're the Lord. They're going to keep building these walls. This was the Lord's plan. They were going to build these walls back up. The spanks were over. They were coming back to the land now. As the Lord has said, how many times do you see that in the Bible? As the Lord has said, God does what he says. And then Ezra, he brought the people back. He said that he was spanking, but he said that they would come back, and they came back. And right now, after they killed Jesus, they went into captivity again, but they're starting to come back again. And in the end, we know they're going to come back. Anyway, Ezra, the Lord made them joyful during the feast of unleavened bread. He turned the hearts of the king of Assyria unto them, and he strengthened their hands in their work for the house of God. And then Nehemiah also, they were building the wall. And they offered sacrifices and rejoiced, for God made them to rejoice with great joy. So God is making them happy in Ezra and Nehemiah. And back in Ezra, he even turns the hearts of Assyria, poor speak. And isn't that interesting that God makes people like you? So if he wants me to like you, then ask God to make that person like you. So during their captivity, just before they came back, God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So the ruler, he kind of liked Daniel. He was a good guy, you know, in his sight. And God is the one who did that. God made this prince like Daniel. And there were four children. You probably know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as well as Daniel. And God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And that's what God did with Bezalel and Aholiab. He gives people, some people, knowledge and skills and wisdom and learning. And they did well, and you know their stories, how they went into the fire and all that. You know the story of Daniel and his three friends. And then, one night he was writing on the wall, and he was scared, and he went about Daniel, and Daniel told him a meaning. So God turned the night of Babylon's pleasure into fear. And here he was just getting drunk and doing bad stuff, and then all of a sudden this hand appears and says, your day's number. And the Lord of hosts, it did in that day, a call to weeping and mourning and baldness and girding with sackcloth. That's what you do when you're sad, is you put poor man's clothes on, and you bald your head, and you cry, you mourn, you weep. Okay, but what did they do? Instead of crying, they didn't cry, they didn't call out to the Lord. You know, he put that ring on the wall for a reason. He gave him Daniel for a reason. But they just continued to party, not knowing that it was their last night. He ate and drank. It was merry, even though his soul was required of him in that night. They got back out of captivity, and Ezra and Nehemiah led them to build the temple and the wall. And after a while, the Romans came and kind of took over the Jewish land. They brought peace, and the Jews wanted freedom from Rome. But one day, there were shepherds in the field. And the glory of the Lord shone around about these shepherds. And they told them to go to Bethlehem. They saw the baby Jesus born. And they brought baby Jesus into the temple, and the Holy Ghost was on Simeon. And the Holy Ghost revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And sure enough, he sees the Christ, and Anna sees Jesus too. And the Lord also showed great mercy to Elizabeth. You know, she was getting up there past age. She was pretty old, but she had a baby, her and Zechariah. And the Lord was upon John the Baptist. He was 6 months older. And he just asked God would speak in time past to the fathers by prophets. And where the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And John was the greatest of prophets because he got to bring in the Messiah, basically. Also, when Jesus was 2 years old, I don't want to forget about this, he warned Joseph and the wise men in a dream about Herod. So to protect Jesus, because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Well, anyway, Jesus grew up, and God sent his son to be the Savior of the world. He brought his first begotten into the world. He made the Son of Man a little lower than the angels. That's what Jesus called himself a lot. He would say, I'm the Son of Man. He prepared a body, Christ. The Word of God was made flesh, even the form of a man. The grace of God was upon Jesus. God was justified by the baptism of the publicans. The bad guy, when they would get baptized, when they would repent, God was justified. God, you are good, I am bad. Basically, that's what they were saying. And the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness one day, and you know, he fasted for 40 days after his baptism. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, like a dove upon Jesus. That was during the baptism. The Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove, devoted upon Jesus. And then one day he came by the Spirit into the temple. The Lord, in the Spirit, leads Jesus to go to the temple. And the Holy Ghost wasn't given yet, because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. After Jesus' resurrection, glorification, after he had his new glorified body, the Holy Ghost came to indwell those who believe. And if the Holy Ghost doesn't indwell you, it's because you don't belong to God. And God bore witness of Jesus with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So God gave people miracles, and especially gave Jesus miracles and raised him from the dead to witness, to verify that this was from him. And he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. God was manifest in flesh. God gave record, testified witness of his Son. God had given this power to him to forgive the palsy. Yeah. He ordained strength out of the mouth of babes and sucklings because of the enemies, that he might still the enemy and avenger. He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. He condemned sin in the flesh of Jesus through sending his own Son. He set forth Christ Jesus to be a propitiation. He has raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead. He wrought mighty power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. He raised Jesus and gave him glory, that our hope might be in God. He was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. That's about Jesus. He gave honor and glory to Christ. He crowned Jesus with honor and glory. He made him to have dominion. He did set him over the works of his hands. He made Jesus to be the king. He put all things under Jesus' feet. He has also highly exalted Jesus and given him a name above every name. He put all things under Christ's feet and gave him the head over all things to the church. He hath appointed his Son to be the heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And so God made the world by Jesus, and then everything will eventually be for Jesus in the end. He's put all things under Jesus' feet. God made Christ's enemies his footstool. He's going to conquer his enemies. He's going to be under his feet. God's going to make Christ's enemies under his feet. He's gathered together all things in one in Christ. He used Christ to gather all things together. His church was at Corinth. He enriched the Corinthians and everything. His beloved were in Rome. His grace was to Paul. God willed that Paul be an apostle. God by revelation made known to Paul a mystery, that the Gentiles should be partakers of his promise. We're Gentiles. Anyway, who's not part of Israel is called a Gentile. And God opened a door to Paul. He saved Paul. He stood with Paul. He strengthened him. He gave Paul power to teach, to edify, to build up, but not to destroy. And in the right time, God manifested his word through preaching. He will bruise Satan under the Roman's feet shortly. He gave the revelation to Jesus Christ, and he sent his angels to show things to his servants. God cares for you. You're his workmanship. He works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. You're his temple. His temple is holy. His peace is in our hearts and minds through Jesus. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge to the glory of God in the face of Jesus. He grants us to be like-minded one toward another, according to Jesus. He revealed to you how to be good. He has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him. We're all part of Christ's body. He has tempered us together like a body, giving more abundant honor to that which lacked. His flock should be fed by the elders. He says it all together for our sakes, that we are to give money to the pastor. He ordained that they which preach the gospel should live above the gospel. His house is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He has set some in the church with different gifts, but it's all the same spirit. He distributes to and calls everyone. He has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He has also made us disciples, the disciples to be able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. He made it known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. He's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, and the cross is mentioned with reconciliation and peace passages, and he's given to us this ministry. He was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He doesn't count our sins, and that's how he reconciles us to himself. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We're supposed to tell others about this reconciliation through his cross. He's given to us disciples authority for edification, and not for destruction. We're to build, not destroy. He has distributed to us disciples a measure to receive unto you. He commanded preaching be committed to Paul. His commandment is that the mystery be made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith, or to believe. Now in the future, he will send a strong delusion. He will put it in their hearts, the beast. He'll put it in that bad king, in his heart, to fulfill God's will, and to agree and give their kingdom, just as God had planned, until the word of God be fulfilled. God knows what's going to happen. He has his plan out. He'll destroy any man who defiles his temple. He shall consume that wicked man's sin with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming He gathered those bad people together in one place, a place called Armageddon. He says, I've set watchmen, or pastors maybe, upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which will never hold their peace day or night. These watchmen will give God no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. He will reign from Jerusalem one day. The Lord has proclaimed unto the ends of the world, say ye to the daughters of Zion, Jerusalem, behold, thy salvation comes. He's going to save you. His reward is with him. His day comes as a thief in the night. His coming draws nigh. We should be looking for his appearing. He provided something better for us. The Old Testament saints without us won't be made perfect. Yes, we're going to be made perfect with him. And he will also raise up us by his own power. He's going to raise us up and shall present us with you. He, the Lord, comes. He will come. He will not tarry. His time he will show. He'll descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God. God shall come, not keep silence. Fire will devour before him, and it shall be tempestuous round about him. He comes with 10,000s of his saints. He brings with him those who sleep in Jesus, those who have already died. He's going to bring with them with him. He's going to come to be glorified in the saints. He's going to be admired in all those that believe when he comes. He's going to come convince all their ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. His reward is with him, his work before him when he comes. And he's going to have power over the plagues in Revelation. Except that the Lord has chosen those days, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has chosen those days. He prepared a place in the wilderness for the woman. I'm guessing that represents Israel. He has taken to himself his great power and has reigned. He shall reign with those priests which had part in the first resurrection, and shall dwell among they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Thou shalt inherit all nations. He will dwell with men. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. God will himself be with them and be their God. I create a new heaven and a new earth. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and a people of joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. He makes all things new. He giveth them light, a new heaven, a new earth. It's us, not the angels, that are going to rule in the world to come.